Hallelujah. Well, I think it'd be a misnomer if I said I'd have no idea what I'm supposed to do. But that's pretty close to that. I do know what I'm supposed to do. That is to follow the Lord. I think that we'll look at a prophecy here in a little bit that came last Sunday and encourage you with it. But to start with, let's just worship just a little bit more. How about that? Help me out. You'll help out the speaker this morning, the pastor. Father, I love you, worship you, and glorify you, Jesus. All things are yours, Malakalese, and all things go back to you, Jesus. This is your body, and this is not only your local body, but it is your body watching. And part of everything that you desire is wrapped up in this morning. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you. We put our total dependency upon you, everything that you are. Lord, take us to the next step, place, aligning ourselves with your word and with your promises. We give glory and praise to you, Jesus. Help us, Father. Help us to follow you. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you say this with me as an open confession. I say that all the miracles or all the gifts of the Spirit work in this place. They flow without any restraint. The gift of miracles, the gifts of healings, that is the, I said gift of miracles, workings of miracles, the workings of miracles, gifts of healings, faith, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. We say that all of these and everything that God has for us works without restraint. It works in love. It works in a more excellent way. But it works all the time. It flows like water. With no restraint. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm enjoying an inward peace and an inward place. And what I know is among us and more so what is coming. Hallelujah. Julie, you got both of those this morning or just one? You bring just one at a time? Both those twins are here. I was wondering how that works. She's holding one. I didn't know she left one with somebody else. Hallelujah. What is it? My guys. Yes, sir. Melechadje dastola kerisete. Mohore sete. Ha, Jenny. Yes, sir. For most of the body that couple themselves and tie themselves in to this pursuit of gold and do those things that are applicable to change, to most, their fight is a pure fight against those things that have come to stop them, both in the spirit and in the natural. The war is a war that has been amped up in the spirit, especially against the body that is pursuing gold, absolute. With no diminishing of what he left and who he is, present tense. For that body and for those, hear the word of the Lord. Yours is a fight of faith. That which you've not received yet in the natural is still a fight of faith for you that I'm laboring with you in. And my spirit and my word are standing stalwart on right and left hand to guide you past all obstacles. And that which would come to deplete your hope and stand against you as an argument of contradiction of the things that you're believing for. But I'm standing with you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'll make your bed in the time of sickness. I'll visit you and raise you up out of that. And every infirmity I walk with you, and every time you speak out against the contradiction, I am with you in your confession, says the Spirit of grace. I'm holding you up as a nursemaid holds her children. I'm holding you up so that you do not faint in your infirmity, but rather find places of encouragement to strengthen you, to go on in the fight to the next hour and to the next day and to the next decade in which you'll win, says the Spirit of grace. But having said that, I say this, that there are those who hear my word, and there are those among you and among the listening that are viewing. It is time and it's past time for you to judge yourself, says the Spirit of the Lord. You'll not receive those things that you're asking for by staying in the world and having one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Your curtsy to me in the church and confession before my name will not do away with the dark things that you entertain and are part of, says the Spirit of the Lord. For that which is abating, as surely as that which is abating those standing in faith, for the reasons of faith, on the other end, that which holds back on your end, is those things in which you're involved in against conscience and against my word, says the Spirit of the Lord. For surely sin will hold back healing, and surely sin will hold back the restoration of those things in which I have said would be restored. But know this, no matter what you thought you'd received in promise, or hands laid on you at any time, or confession made according to my word, if you are in places of darkness in which I have convicted you of to come out of, now is the time, says the Spirit of the Lord. It's not the devil that's fighting you. It's your flesh, and you're giving way to the devil that is lording over you, says the Spirit of the Lord. Yours is not a fight of faith. Yours is a fight of sin. You must repent. You must repent and come out, says the Spirit of grace. You must not continue to act as if you are one way and live another in darkness, says the Spirit of the Lord. For these things will hold back healing. They will hold back miracles. And they'll hold back restoration and restitution, says the Spirit of grace. For I say these things because I, as a loving father, do not like suffering. But I identify to every group that all may stand in faith and come forth and come out and be restored in these last days for the purposes that I have, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You plan on doing something like that? I'd rather you just run over me with a steamroller. Kill me. If you don't think that playing with sin will stop, and I'm not talking about not yet being perfect. I'm not talking about, you know, you got faults and you don't always walk in the amount of love you should, or and you, all of us are growing and going and to the next level where we're being perfected. And but I'm talking about, you know, and I don't want to elaborate too much because he said what he said. Jesus. You know, when he, it seems like the more the anointing comes, the smaller the crowds get. But we're going to have our day because we're going for gold. Hallelujah. I don't know which is best and I don't know which is worse. I guess God only knows. I know that not everybody that comes here or everybody that watches per se is really on the walk for gold. And that's okay. I mean, it really is okay. And nobody ever has to feel second class. But there's another place where sometimes people will identify with something because they're supposed to. And I don't know which is worse. I'd almost lean one way and then I'd come back to another. I'd almost encourage people, if they didn't, if they weren't serious, I mean over a period of time, like they really didn't care nothing about none of this. And they just came because parents wanted them to come. Or wife wanted them to come. Or husband wanted them to come. I'd almost, in a loving way, encourage them, don't come. You say, well, that's, couldn't, no. You don't understand that if you stay a long time in this and you're not really ever affected by it at the levels that he's calling us to, you really run a risk. You really run a risk. Not that God's going to come and kill you, but a risk of running a reprobate. And I'm talking about if somebody came here and they weren't even saved and they just sat under it week after week, month after month. I'd almost rather they said, Mom, Dad, I'm not, I mean, you couldn't do that if you weren't over 18, but because I'd make mine in love come before. But I'm not really coming. I don't, no, Pastor, that's not right, because even if they weren't serious, they could sit here. Maybe sometime, that's right, maybe sometime he could. But you also got to understand this, that every message of truth, here's the truth, that every message of truth that you hear and you don't do anything about it or come into, you either do one or two things. Your heart, you'll either respond to it, even in a small manner, and your heart will grow tender, or it'll get calloused. And the worst part about it is if somebody is in here and they think they're saved and they're not really saved. Well, who's that? I don't know. But if you come to church for mama's sake or dad's sake just to show up, you're almost better off not to come. Why? Pastor, I just totally disagree with that. Well, I don't know that you do if you knew every aspect of the word. He said the danger of the Laodicean church, the last one in Revelation, was this, that they were lukewarm. And he said something incredible that's really hard to understand. I would that you were hot or cold. Now, I didn't understand that for a while. What? I could understand you would that I was hot, like really ambitious for the Lord, but that you rather that I was cold, just absolutely cold, indifferent, not coming to church. Just why would you even, I mean, wouldn't even a neutral place be better than cold? At least you were in a neutral place. You may not be responding to too much, but you were. But he said, I would. My wish is that you were hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Well, the people that were cold, they were in jeopardy anyhow. They were in real jeopardy. But they held a little bit of a caveat that the lukewarm people didn't, that was in their advantage. If you're really cold, then there's something to judge you by. You really know that standard's not where I'm living. And everybody knows, that knows me, knows I'm not making any identification with that. There's an absolute standard by which the Holy Spirit can take and convict you out of saying, look, there's the standard of cold. There's the standard of hot. They're worlds apart. You're way over there. They're way over there. You need to come over here because you're in a real jeopardy. The only advantage, which there is an advantage over being cold rather than lukewarm, is the cold, they really know where they're at. And they're really not having anything to do with church or God's people. Well, what about lukewarm? They can sit there and think they're saved. Or they can die week after week. Do their heart get so callous they're just living the same way that they ever did? And the problem is, you couldn't pull them out of here because there's such an abruptness. That's really good. The shock of being cold versus hot lets people know where they're at. And then the Holy Spirit can come and say, I love you, but you know you're going to hell if you don't. I know your family goes to church, and I know you thought you were. Why are you talking this way, Pastor? If there wasn't a reason, I wouldn't be. But he's got more to work with the cold than he does the lukewarm. Lukewarm is really, according to Jesus, according to Jesus, lukewarm's more in jeopardy. I'd rather that you were cold, he said. I'd rather you were just absolutely ice cold than lukewarm. What's lukewarm? Hear and not do. Hear and not do. Hear and still be drinking Budweiser. And still be doing this. And still be doing that. And still be doing this. And still be doing that. Now, I know I'd lose an argument. I study this word from front to back. I'd lose any argument that you wanted to argue with me. You mean to tell me I'm going to go to hell for taking a drink? No, I'm not telling you that. I'd lose that argument on content alone. Couldn't do that. Little wine for the stomach's sake. That was little wine was probably enough that you put in an eyedropper and drop it in enough water to kill the amoebas. In the revival, there'll be thousands that'll be come, and some of them will never stop drinking and a little bit. But they'll, listen, I don't want you, if you're doing any of that, I don't want you to pick up a pencil to help us around here. Not a pencil, I don't want you to move a chair. You say, boy, he's getting rough. I want everything to get shaken down to just as far as it can be shaken. Because on the other side of the shaking is a true outpouring. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm talking about people that want to go into gold. They don't have to, nobody has to agree with me on those kinds of things. That's just one example. They don't have to agree with me. And like I said, I couldn't preach it as salvation versus not. I'm just saying, if you're part of this or that or anything that serves the people, it's not that you're not holy enough. That's not the reason. The reason is I want people never to sit in a place where whatever they're doing in darkness, that they think that it's okay. And it just neutralizes them. And Jesus said, I don't know why he'd say something like that. Well, I do, because we explained it. I just wish it's safer for you to go on out there and get cold. That way I can pull you on over. But if you're in a neutral place, if you're in a place where you drink wine and sip and do this and that and come to this church and post it on Facebook, look at us at the club. Look at us. Here or there. I don't have Facebook. But all those things always get back to me. They always get back to me. And somebody said, did you know? And I said, no, but nothing like that ever surprises me, because I know where people walk. I know where they walk. And I'm going to treat you just as good as I treat anybody. But here's the thing. If you're going to go in there in the middle of the night and that baby's sick, and that poor little thing has got 105 temperature, and you're going to lay your hands on there as a daddy or as a mama, and you're going to believe that the corpuscles of your hands flow with the power of the Holy Ghost. Enzymes, Holy Ghost enzymes, comes out of your spirit, comes through your flesh, and touches their hot flesh, and begins to make a difference to the point that the fever begins to cool. What you want to be, what you want to know, is that you're walking in a place of holiness. Of holiness. There may have been times where, and I'm not talking about ugly things, real ugly things, but there may have been times where I thought, I don't really have to push it so hard and do this, that, and stand so hard. But I loved my kids. And I loved my wife. And I loved you. Because I can tell you this, if you don't think. Somebody said, it's all by grace. There was two places that Jesus said that I hate, that I know of. He didn't say I hate the person. He said I hate the deeds. Two places in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I hate the deeds. He said, I hate the deeds. And then over, I think it was in, was it Thyatira or Smyrna? He said, I hate the teachings of the Nicolaitans. What were the Nicolaitans? Well, I don't know for sure. They say that possibly the father of the Nicolaitans was one of the seven deacons. And there's reasons for that. Nicholas. But that's neither here nor there. What we do find out by tradition is that they taught a mixture, and it invaded the church, even in the early church. And the mixture was this. It was a mixture of what we'd call it today, hyper grace or greasy grace, or this would be one of its doctrines. What I do physically does not affect me spiritually. In other words, what I'm doing physically, my spiritual relationship with Christ is uninhibited. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart. Depart from unrighteousness, from sin. If you don't think that between the prayer of in Jesus' name, that when it's supposed to come out of here, I'm just going to use an example. It's not necessarily how it works, but flows down your arm through your hand to that baby. If you don't think that messing around and stuff won't stop that flow, you've got another thing coming. And it's not that Jesus wouldn't even jump over that. But if you're born again, you know. And I'll tell you the first thing, not only is that child in a spirit of, maybe it's not just a natural sickness. Maybe it wasn't just something they caught at school. Maybe a devil came and brought the infirmity. Well, the first thing that devil is going to tell you, because the same devil that brought the infirmity, the moment that you begin to lay hands, he's going to remind you. Remember when you were being cute? You married man? You married woman? Remember when you were being cute at work or cute? Listen, if you're an office man or woman, you are not allowed for righteousness to have your lunch break with a fellow office member of the opposite sex without somebody else being there. Well, they're married and I'm married. You're still a man, I guess. And you're lying if you say, I don't care. You can do, watch it, Bronk. I've done a bunch of long ones, a bunch of long, long fast, a bunch. 40 pounds at each one. But you could do those the rest of your life. But every time you come out of one, you got to understand something. You may have graduated to some place in the spirit. But the flesh is still the flesh. And within a week, you'll still find out that the flesh is still the flesh. Pastor Dave said to me, he said, Bronk, I said, yes, sir. He said, I remember something all through your ministry. I said, yes, sir. He said, always remember that no matter where you go to in the spirit, you can always fall. And he didn't mean that I could just get up one day and I was doing good and then all of a sudden I just fell. He meant that it could be a progression in your life if you don't humble yourself and humble yourself and humble yourself. And it wouldn't be that the Holy Spirit would say, no, you're not, you're just an old dirty rags. I can't heal that child. But if you're born again, that same devil will rise up and say, you know what you've been doing. You know what you've been doing. And it'll negate. You can't say it won't negate your confidence. You'll pray the prayer, but you might as well call the doctor and get him some amoxicillin or something, because your prayer, it's negated. So I don't know. Hallelujah, Jesus. Switching a little bit. Yes, sir. I didn't have any idea. You know, I prayed at my usual time yesterday. It got up early and did that, and then came back, and I had to do some things with my dad, which was great, and then come back and spent the evening preparing. But I never could. I kept looking up. Usually, I've got six. That's maybe exaggeration. I've got six irons in the fire, six revelations. I can't write them down fast enough. And I'm just wondering which week I can start the next one, because you stay full by the grace of God. But you stay full because you read the Word, and the Word is the revelation by which He can pull things up. So I read a lot of the Word yesterday. But I was mainly in studying once again the two major, wonderful Old Testament revivals. And I love those two Old Testament revivals. There, I guess you could talk about a number of places in the Old Testament where you could think about where revivals were at. They weren't like our revivals where the Holy Ghost and baptism of the Spirit and those things. But they were Reformation revivals and restoration to righteousness. And we won't go into those so much, but I'll just mention that we're headed towards much of that. You can find those revivals in 2 Kings, I believe it's starting around 18 and then going forward. And then the corresponding, a duplicate of it, is also in 2 Chronicles. And I think those are in the 20s chapters. But they were the revival of Hezekiah. And then 57 years later, the revival of Josiah. And both of these men were men of the king of Judah. The northern kingdom had already fallen. And the Assyrians had already begun to take them away, at least in Josiah's reign. And Hezekiah was a king that, though he was is incredible, though he was raised by one of the most evilest men, his father was very, very evil, very evil. But he comes up and he begins to seek God, and he returns to everything that the heart of David was. But there's a mystery in that. We won't go into that. His mother, actually. His mother and his mother's father, they were both. And they're mentioned there for a reason, and we could tell you more about who they are, but they were righteous people, prophet or priest. But Hezekiah redeems the nation, as well as Josiah 57 years later. In between, there's nothing but chaos. And both of them bring back temple worship and people coming back into the kingdom of God. And in Hezekiah's, which is wonderful, there's a sanctifying of the priest, although they're in a rush to keep a Passover and they're not sanctified like they should be according to Jewish law. And Hezekiah just prays and says, Lord, will you bypass this? And I'm going to put it in my words, just on your mercy. And he did, and God came, and the Bible says he healed the people. It's amazing, Old Testament revival. And there was restoration just like that in Josiah's day. And after, amazing, again, Hezekiah has his revival. And he throws out all of the, just a list. We'll do that list. We've done it before. We'll do that again. Josiah did the same thing. He came up at 8 years old, came on the throne, and reigned 31 years. It was such an incredible king. And he goes in and he finds that after Hezekiah had done what he did, that in the 55 years of Manasseh's reign, and then 2 years after that, his son, that all of everything that was thrown out came back. The Sodomites, you know who that is. The Sodomites had set up brothels right outside. You could turn when you stepped in. Now, I'm just giving you the paraphrase of what the Bible describes. You could exit the temple and turn to your left or right, and there was a Sodomite brothel that you could participate in. That's how close. And there was all kinds of articles. Ashtaroth, the goddess. Remember that film we just saw recently by Jonathan Kahn, The Return of the Gods? And all of the things that Solomon gave way to and corrupted the people with, followed it right on. Well, Josiah came in and he threw all that out. And I like it. It says it burnt. One place it says he burnt the articles on the graves of the priest. What does that mean? He got rid of all of it. Those high priests that burned all those incense to those false gods. Well, those are revivals, and they restored. But Josiah was the last, as far as I know, the last great king. And what happened to the north happened to the south. Inevitably, they were all judged. Now, there is a judgment coming, and we can't save. America, we believe America can be saved temporarily. And when I say temporarily, I'm talking about the end of all things is tribulation, the book of tribulation. And that's not Satan has a big part in that, but it's really the final is God's judgment on the earth and on the backslidden church. But guess what? Right up until our coming, or his coming, we get to have an incredible outpouring of God's Spirit. And it's ours to have. It's ours to have. It's ours to behold. It's ours to walk into the gold. It's ours to say, look, we're coming into a places like we've never seen before. That's why the harder we preach, the more the church empties out sometimes. But we're trying to save everybody. And we're trying to wake up everybody. And I can tell you this, what we're going to have is something that God has wanted for a long time. And the harvest is going to be this. The harvest will be like Hezekiah and Josiah, where those Israel returned Hezekiah, he sent, even though the northern kingdom had been destroyed, he sent posts and couriers and said, anybody that wants to come down that's left from the remnant that hasn't been taken away, you can come down. A lot of them mocked, but there was a lot that says, okay, we'll come and they repent. And they became a part of it. Now, let me tell you this. Not every church that preaches the name of Christ is going to have like the outstanding miracles of the book of Acts like we are believing God for. Because they're not claiming that. But a revival will entail a great harvest of souls coming in. That will be part of. But let me tell you something. Me and you will fight. We'll come close to blows. Not really, but figuratively. If you try to cheat me out by describing or prescribing a less revival that he's given us to receive. If there's something, because there's something that sometimes, listen, what our greatest enemy is not the devil, though he is. He's an enemy, but he'll use even success. If we ever do begin to see, and when we ever do begin to see the success of a harvest where people are coming in on a much more notable basis and being born again, and the church fills up. If we begin to believe that what he's called us to do is being fulfilled in the harvest, sometimes people will say, you know, people being born again, that's the most important. You know, praise God that you're preaching on miracles, but praise God. Listen, you'd think sometimes by the way I talk about miracles, that's all that me and Jesus talk about in those hours. In fact, I find myself thinking back about it. It seems like I hardly ever discuss miracles with him so much. It's intimacy. Me being conformed to him and to his word. And all of everything that he wants done to be done. But if you want to cheat us out and say, hey, the greatest is salvation. Absolutely. How could we, you know, you'd rather spend 1,000,000 years in heaven having got there sick than being real healthy and go to hell. My God. I mean, anybody, that's redundant. I mean, that's just a moot question or answer to that. But sometimes people will get tired of the fight. And they'll lessen, they'll say, let's take it down a few bars. If we can just get people born again. Hey, that's the greatest. But my God, then I've got a question. I've got one question. What was it in the fight that testified to you daily and preached to you daily about your body or what you did not see? What was it in the fight that allowed you to come to the place of change, unrecognizable change, where you begin to preach or teach or exemplify a lesser gospel than the gospel that he left? Because whatever it is the part of you that wasn't, it just wasn't able to go that full distance. And so then it compromised and said, you know what? It's better to stay in a wheelchair and be full of joy and get people born again than the alternatives of the world. My God, we know that. But here's the deal. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've got it in my Bible. You've got it in yours. Red letter edition. And all those things he did. And he did continually. And then he said, the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater. Because I go to the Father. So don't. No. Listen. If you're preaching a salvation message, glory. If you're preaching an eschatology end time event and we're going to get, he's coming, I'll say glory. If you're talking about building a bigger facility and packing them out with people that are born again, I'll say glory. But if you have if you don't go to that, don't lessen our standard. Why do you want to do that? None of you do. I'll tell you why, because people get tired. They get, their body preaches to them. And they don't see it. And so then you begin to say, well, maybe we were shooting for something that really only Jesus could do. When you get to that place, it testifies against you. What does it testify? You got wore out. You settled out of court. You weren't ready to prosecute all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Do we have those? I don't know that we have enough, but you can look on with somebody. Let's read this and go home. Hallelujah. This may be at the website. I believe it is. Candy was, if she was in here, she's helping next door. I'm sure she's got it up because this woman, she works. My God. I'm not even going to get to, I hope I know what street she lives on when I get there. Some days I'll get the privilege of just going and visiting, looking. You know, we don't believe in big mansions and all that stuff, but if it was that typical, stereotypical, reward-based kind of thing, if we believe that, then I'd say when I get to heaven, Candy's going to be so much closer because all the stuff that she does in love for the Lord and for others. Hallelujah. I could just about try and almost do it without my spectacles, but I better put them on. This came, and did we have pretty much enough? Oh, good. So this is called the sound of good reports, and the Holy Spirit spoke this. There's healing in this. There's restoration in this. The anointing breaks the yoke in this, says the Spirit of grace. For many of you will hear, and it's for you, it's for your purpose or for the purpose of your own edification, you'll hear. Hear what? The sound in this season of good report. Take it from a reliable source. That the hope that I'm extending to you will not be defrauded. It will not be abated. It will not be deferred, says the Spirit of grace. Hope in hope. And set your foundation upon the rock, solid rock. He that trusteth in the Lord shall not be ashamed, says the Spirit of grace. For a great season is now upon you. Mark these words. That kind of incriminates me. It's coming from the speaker. Mark these words. That more and more good reports from various places are coming on every hand. Physically, financially, those things that have been being stood for. You'll find and you'll hear that many are receiving. And that change is taking place and miracles are taking place. And if you'll receive it into yourself, hope against all hope, says the Spirit of grace. Stand now, knowing this, that my grace is sufficient For it'll not always be this way as it is this day, says the Spirit of grace. But a great sound from heaven is approaching as a wave, a tidal wave of my glory. And to those that will hear and receive it, you'll hear the reports of good things taking place, and it'll lighten your hearts and it'll endow you. If you choose, as many have chose, to stay in a downhearted, pessimistic world of hopelessness, I'll still come and do what I can. But for you that will step up and receive on every hand every good report, even when you say, or you might say this or think this, and that's me giving that commentary for those of you that are not reading along. When you say, well, that's not happening to me. I heard something happened, good happened to them. I'm the same God to you as I am to them. Know that your time is coming. Your time is coming, and it's not as if I'm visiting one and then visiting another. But I'm working with your faith under the application of the trial that you're in. For some, he acknowledges this, for some are in a deeper trials than others, but all are important to me, says the Spirit of grace. I'll lift you up. I'll cause you to stand. But I say unto you, hope is the building block for faith. For if you divorce yourself from hope, then faith has nothing to set its roots in with expectancy. So, take joy in the blessings of others. Take joy from every good report that you hear in the body of Christ, where I'm coming or I have come and done something of change in their life. For I am a God and a Father of change, and I'm changing things in the Spirit even this morning for you, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I didn't mean to prophesy the whole service, but I did mean to follow him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You have a wonderful day. Let the Holy Ghost rest upon you, and the power of the Holy Spirit fill your life with presence. As you eat your meal, let your contemplation be in the power of what is coming to you in the healing of your body. I say that there's hope. There's hope, there's hope, there's hope, there's hope, there's hope, there's hope. Stay in a place of expectancy. Stay in a place of hope. I bless them, Father. I bless them. May the power of your Holy Spirit rest upon them in these days. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.